Toucher.
Who turned out to be a real jerk.
Rich.
He's a disruptive influence.
It's the Toucher and Rich Show.
Well, who's going to relate to that?
Get in touch with Toucher and Rich. Call 617-779-0985. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Why they call me Cudsy.
Ding, ding, does your head bump the whip? For Christ's sake, look at your arm. So you're 6'2 and you're thinking Billy?
Hey, happy Tuesday.
.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. The Town Fair Tire Studios. Simulcast. The TV side of things on NBC Sports Boston. We got Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning. Happy Bill Belichick drinking orange juice day. This is one. And today's going to be different than years past because for some reason he's developed this, hey, I'm your buddy, Mr. Media Guys. I'm happy go chipper guy. I don't know what's going on with him this year, but the fact that he called a meeting, like a little press event the other day and said, hey, you know, guys in the press, you can bust my chops, you know, on Tuesday as well. I don't care. He's like freewheeling Belichick now. But in years past, breakfast, the media breakfast at the owners meeting has been just a thing of joy to watch. I mean, the way that a couple years ago, all of the press put all their microphones in front of him and he just like pushed them all out of the way. We were watching videos yesterday after the show and I just forgot just how much disdain he has at having to do this event. But this morning, I got a feeling he's probably going to come walking in with the finger guns. Right. You know, what's up, Bedard?
Patting guys on the backside. Hey, little right. Towel whip.
Yo, there's Peter sir. King.
You know, pointing him out
PK
as he walks in.
PK in the house. Right. What's that? He's going to pick up Reese and bounce about like around like a basketball and dunk him. Hey, what up, Reese boy? I don't know what's going on with him. I think it has something to do with all of the talk about, you know, there being dysfunction. And now, I don't know, maybe he wants to be looked at as the good guy. It's very odd. Everything about the Patriots has been so odd over the last few months. I mean, honestly, this is just weird. And the whole situation with leaks coming out, I'm not used to any of this. But Bill Belichick is being like happy-go-lucky guy and I'll work with you press is strange. And I don't like it. No, I don't like it. And
it is weird.
And I've been consistent in this. I get pure joy out of watching Bill Belichick just in so many terms tell the media to go get their shine box. It just makes me laugh because, you know, people from the outside get all upset by it. I was like, no, it's like gladiator games. I like seeing the people try to go up and get something out of him, just shoot him down. And he's the rare exception because I like when people aren't afraid to say, you know, what's on their mind. I like when athletes and coaches are open. I mean, we're in the media. We want more info. The more info, the better. Except with Bill Belichick. I like him being the one because he's so damn good at it. And just being such a grumpy a-hole. I'm going to miss that if that part of him is done.
Well, and today, I mean, maybe not today specifically, but this day in the past, it's about as grumpy as he ever is.
It is.
Like, it's on the short list of the most grumpy he'll be all year.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he doesn't like being up early. My sense is, as a football coach, that's not his issue.
Yep.
It's a league-issued event. That's probably his real issue with it. He doesn't want to sit there and be available for an hour straight or however long this thing is. This is on the short list of the most crabby and most grumpy that he ever is all year long. So if he isn't, I would agree. It's probably worth reading into even more in a weird offseason. I was kind of wondering the other day if Bill got out in front of it and said, hey, I'll talk to the local press. I'll get this out there. If I go back and forth with you guys, I'm on the record on a few different topics. And then when the national press or other people come in, I can say, oh, yeah, well, I already answered that the other day. That's kind of what I thought he was angling for. Maybe there's more to it. You know, maybe it is, hey, it's been such a weird offseason, I need to project a different image than I normally do. Maybe it's that.
We didn't get into it enough yesterday, and it's purely my fault, because I had not heard Bill Belichick's discussion with the local media in its entirety that he had on Sunday. I had just heard the little sound bites and things like that. But if you listen to the whole thing, like, he's like Mr. Jokey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm your best buddy. Oh, What's going on there?
Tried to sneak in a curveball there on the outside corner, Tom Curran, did you?
Right. Yeah. He's like, you know, Mr.
Almost got me.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to get that car. This one over here is more your style. I mean, he's like a used car salesman. He was like, hey, I'm your best buddy. I was fascinated by it. And I think that today, I don't know if he's going to revert back to what he was, but I mean, this is a day that, you're right, not only is he at his saltiest, didn't he a couple years ago just peek his head in
yes.
and then leave?
He's That's like, right.
F this, I'm out of here. Yeah.
He was the only coach who didn't show up.
Yeah, well, he's still salty enough not to do the team photo. Like, not the team photo, the coach's photo, yeah, which right. they did yesterday.
He skipped the coach's photo again yesterday.
He did along with Pete Carroll and one other guy. Only three people missed it.
Harbaugh,
okay.
Bad Boys Club.
Yeah, yeah.
They're smoking in the bathroom or something like that.
right. Right. Well, they weren't there for that. So there's a little bit of hope that you might get some of that saltiness, seeing that he's not so much of a pal that he was hanging out with the fellow coaches. Now, we are going to have Greg Bedard on later on today, and I don't know what time Orange Juice Fest is.
Bedard seemed to think it was 7 to 8 o'clock.
Okay, good.
And so we're going to have Bedard on at 8:20.
So he'll be coming on after Orange
yes,
Juice Fest.
Correct.
All right. Which is, I mean,
Orange Juice
well, I always think of the
That's
meme.
That's what it is.
Yeah, well, it's the meme that Jeff Howe created. Yep. It's when he's sitting there and he is so pissed. He doesn't want anything to do with these reporters. And it's that picture of him just drinking yep. his orange juice.
Like he's Kermit.
right. Huh. Exactly. Like, I don't want to be here. You guys disgust me. Get out of my face. That's not even the picture. I mean, that's
he's not in control of anything. I think that's part of the problem. I mean, Belichick can call his own press conference when he feels like it.
Sure.
He's feeling it. But when he's forced, NFL mandated, forced to sit somewhere for an hour, it's like a hostage tape.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to be there.
It's so tough, Bill. It is a tough life that you have over there, Bill. They have to show up for 1 hour and speak to the media. I can see why he'd be so crabby about that. It is a tough life.
He runs his life. He's the lord of the manor. He calls all the shots. He decides where to go and where to be and who can talk to him and who can't talk to him.
Except he doesn't. He has a boss like everyone else.
I understand up to a point. I mean, I've seen Robert Kraft come and sit in that uncomfortable chair at his desk.
Yeah.
And then, Bill's like, all right, I have to go back to work, and Bob gets up and leaves. I mean, there is a function of Belichick's life where he is in control of everything, except for this hour, where he's forced to be somewhere and doesn't want any part of it.
And he's enjoying every minute of it. That's the thing, is that making these guys squirm is, you know, I think that there's something in him. It's life. It's life for Bill Belichick. And maybe it isn't now. Maybe something's changed. I don't know what it is. Maybe everyone's trying to protect their legacies with all of this stuff breaking down. It's not my fault. You know, I'm not the bad guy in all this. And there's a little bit of that element to it, which is still weird, but I don't want to lose that pureness of just disdain and hatred that Bill Belichick has for the media on Orange Juice Day.
You don't want Jokey Belichick today.
I don't want Shecky Belichick.
It's uncomfortable. It's weird. You don't want prop
comic Belichick coming out. No.
Carrot Top Belichick. I don't want to see him go out there and just, you know, bust chops and, you know, give him a little, you know, fake air.
Smash a watermelon. You don't want that out of Belichick. No,
I don't.
That would be awesome.
And you know what?
He Gallagher'd the whole thing. That'd be awesome. Shower the media.
Because I think about my favorite Belichick moments.
I take it back. I would like to see him smash a watermelon all over the media.
That'd be great.
I take that back.
Everyone bring your poncho. It'd be fantastic.
Look, I came out on an oversized big wheel. It's like a giant big wheel. You know, it should be small, but it's like,
that'd be great if he came in on the big wheel. And his seats are just a giant couch.
And it took like an extra second because he crashed into the door and couldn't fit it through. It'd be great.
Gallagher Belichick. Sure. You know, and he's going to have what's that called? The scally cap with the hair
going
on the side?
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that. But it's going to be weird because I was thinking about this last night. The moments that I will always remember, even when he's, you know, gone and retired, my favorite Belichick moments are going to be things like, do you remember the press conference after they signed Tim Tebow? And it was a massive national story.
Sure.
And all of these reporters from different national magazines and TV shows came in who had no idea how to deal with this guy. They had no idea of how he hates situations like this. Mm-hmm. He does not like the spotlight on the team for anything other than football. And oh my God, the way he just one by one found pleasure in shooting down the extras, the inquirers, whoever these people had. Everyone thought they were going to be the ones to break
Belichick. I'm ABC News. I work on ABC World News tonight. I'm going to come in here and dominate. And Belichick swats it away like Mutombo blocking shots.
It was one of, it was, that might have been my favorite Belichick moment. Although I have to say, not keeping in line with him being grumpy and being great, the Mona Lisa Vito thing that happened after that the deflategate.
That was amazing.
Was amazing. But the, but it's when he's at his grumpiest. I just, I would miss that part of him, and I'm starting to see it slip away, and I don't want it to go anywhere. So let's hope this morning Bedard, who's going to be on with us at 8:20, will be able to give us good news, and we'll be able to get some sound bites from this morning.
The real Belichick is back.
The real the guy who takes the mics and just says, get these the hell out of my face. And just pushes them out of the way. My God, that was so great. We watched that video, and I'm sitting there cackling laughing because he just takes everyone's microphone, and then there's some jackass reporter who thinks that because he pushed it out of the way, he was making room for other people's microphones.
Let me get in there.
So Bill tries to put his arms down to fold it because that's what he wanted to do. He wants some room in front of him, and a guy puts a microphone right in front of him and just gets this, you got to be effing kidding me. Get the hell out of here.
It is amazing. I always love, and you know, he does this all the time. He starts off a press conference. Wallach, when is the NFL Network? Is that like Wednesdays? When the NFL, they like wire him in for like his weekly interview, or is it after a game?
I think it's Wednesday.
And the big NFL Network mic is like, you know, perfectly placed.
He just takes
the microphone and just, you know, grabs it out of the way, jerks it down. Yeah.
It's got that metal logo thing that it's attached to, the flexible metal thing that makes all this noise.
Get that out of my face. Same thing with all those reporters' microphones, just screwing with them.
You hear people complain all the time about how salty Bill Belichick is. Never me. Never, it's one of my favorite things. It's a sport in itself.
You want more of it.
I want more of it, and I don't want that to go away.
More salty Belichick.
And I don't know what kind of weird thing is happening there, whether he's been, I don't know, seeing a guru, or whether this is just a all to make him seem like the good guy.
He's been going to Guerrero. He's been getting the hammy stretched out by Guerrero.
Right. Well, listen, when you get, you know, that violent type of massage that Tom Brady's been rocking, then, you know, everyone's a little bit happy. So, all right, we'll get some of that stuff. Well, I'm sure we'll have audio by the at some point during the show. Bedard will be on with us at 8:20 to talk about that and so much more. First of all, we'll get you caught up with everything that happened last night, including the Celtics with a late, very late one.
It's TNR, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Okay, you doing it.
Recap me what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. By the way, apparently the expressway northbound sucks right now. A four-car crash near Columbia Road.
Oh,
massive delays, so just heads up on that. Our own Nick is stuck in that. Is he here yet? He just got here? Yeah. I mean, it's no good right now, and I'm sure Nick could probably attest to that. Well, we got Adam Jones filling in for Fred this morning, and after Brad Stevens delivers a rare nutty towards his team last night, the Celtics win another one out west.
A dribble here, and then a bounce pass to Baines. Skip pass into the corner. Horford three. Got it.
This is
fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was, unless you're a Sun fan, wouldn't be fun to watch then.
20-9, Celtics by 11.
Excellent point, Cedric Maxwell. The game started as expected.
That's analysis. You want analysis? That's analysis.
That is analysis. The Celtics.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Unless you're
a
Suns
Phoenix
fan.
Suns fan, that sucks. Yeah.
Boy, are they bad. Well, the Celtics were steamrolling against one of the worst teams in the league, but then in the second quarter, Phoenix goes on a 30-9 run. And Brad Stevens, according to Abby Chin, was as mad as she's ever seen him. And, well, whatever he did worked, because the Celtics go on to win comfortably, 102-94, the final score. And as far as young Jason Tatum, he continues to impress.
Tatum, though, harassed by Chris. Four on the shot clock. Tatum elevates. Contested three is good. Ooh. We're going to call it a two for now and then look at it. Timeout, Jay Triano.
Man, he's talking about all the moves. Guys, man, in the popcorn popper.
19 for Jason Tatum, and the Celtics are back in command. 9:13 to go.
I got what?
You're in the popcorn popper. You know what that is? You get a guy in the air, he's jumping up and down, you fake him out, you make the shot.
That's the popcorn popper?
That's the popcorn popper.
Guys, man, in the popcorn popper.
Yeah, that's right. What that is.
I do like the sound effects. Well, I'm learning something new here today.
You should listen more.
Did realize
learn these things.
Is that something that is a Maxism or is that
that's
a well-known?
No.
Like a trademark Max.
That's a Max thing.
I think.
No, I haven't heard anyone else use it. No, it's a Max thing.
All right.
I haven't heard like Hubie Brown use it on a broadcast.
Now
you're just being cute. That's all you're doing.
Well,
that's fine.
23 points for the Rook. He looked sharp last night despite throwing up some alley-oops. You know what else he was doing? He's putting people
in. Guys, man, in the... Popcorn popper.
Yeah, he was. He was.
And just, shoulder fake will do that.
I guess so. Did you see him? Did you watch any of the game last night? It was late, so I watched
very
the first
little.
Half. I actually watched the first half.
You think I'm sick.
You know, here's why I watched the first
game
half.
Game started 10.
I know, but because in the first quarter, I'm like, well, this is a horrible game. I mean, it's a blowout. I could probably go to bed. So I go to the restroom, and I'm kind of start getting ready for bed. And I walk in, and I start to see that it looks like Phoenix is on a little bit of a run here. I'm like, well, this is not going to be good if they end up losing this. So I sat and I watched the entire, all the way to halftime, because they went on this massive run.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the Celtics, it was embarrassing. They just took their foot. Never more obviously did they just say, well, all right, we got a nice little comfy lead here. We're not even going to try.
It's Phoenix.
I mean, at one point, you know, so Jason Tatum, who's been great lately, he has been, but every once in a while, he'll do something that will just remind you, oh, yeah, the dude can't legally drink yet. Like, he's a young guy and just hasn't figured it out. He was throwing up alley-oops yesterday, like, multiple ones, to nobody. Like, literally, there was no one there. And, like, it wasn't even anyone where you could see, oh, somebody didn't do their, you know, assignment properly. He just was throwing it up.
Forcing it.
Yeah, and then, you know, a guy into the basket, the Suns would pull it down and go, all right, cool, man, thanks. And nice. They would just go right down the court. It was very, very odd. That second quarter was perplexing, but either way, after Brad Stevens went crazy, it didn't really matter. But for a team that's already pretty banged up, the last thing that you want to see is another guy hit the floor, but unfortunately last night we did.
4 seconds to go. Rozier, push ahead to Marcus Morris. He's going to try from 30 feet.
Wow. Left. No, he was fouled.
Did they call it?
Yes.
They did. And you want to know the difference between an elite team in the league and a team that is dead last committing a foul in the final second on a 30-foot shot. Marcus Morris is hobbled as he gets up.
Yeah, this is the guy that already hurt his ankle already.
Yep, so he had missed Sunday's win in Sacramento with a sprained right ankle, and then he re-injured it. After a foul, he came down another guy's foot following that 3-point shot, and he ended up getting out there and making all 3 free throws. But he didn't return after that. He finished with 20 points on the bench, but reportedly the x-rays came back negative, and he was walking around in sneakers. Here he is after the game being asked about it.
I was just sore. X-rays came back negative, so, you know, everything's good. Just same ankle I twisted last game, so it was just, you know, like a re-aggravation.
Yeah, so you don't need another body injured on this team. Who knows when he's going to play or whether he's going to be back on Wednesday, but either way, Brad Stevens knows his team got mentally lazy there in the second and had to turn around, even against the Suns.
I would say that human nature hit us a little bit after our good start. You know, I thought we took our foot off the gas, which is really hard not to do when things are going well and the ball is going in and you're up 20 early. But they keep coming. And they did that last year. They've done that to us in the past. And Ulis loves playing against the Celtics.
All right. Now we got to talk about a situation that came to my attention last night, as it probably did anyone else who was watching the game. Elfrid Payton from the Suns. In the history of athletes with ridiculous hair, his hair is a first ballot entry into
the Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. You know what? Yes. And I was kind of shocked. I know that, okay, it hasn't always been like this for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Because I know for a while you just kind of had like crazy hair. Okay, so I've never had a problem with anyone rocking a different kind of haircut. Kelly Olynyk with your man bun, you go do your thing, clomping around the court like a drunk Clydesdale. Iman Shumpert, you rock that kid and play like it's House Party 5. I'm completely fine with that. But what Elfrid Payton has is astounding. Okay, imagine someone taking a giant kitchen sink faucet made out of hair and then resting it on your head, made with hair that is hanging in front of your eyes. Is that a competent description of what it is?
Yeah, he's had that hair forever.
That's not a good enough question. It's as if Gonzo's nose was hanging over your face.
Yeah, that's a little better. Yeah,
sure. Like, right, made out of hair. So yes, this might be the only haircut in NBA history that might actually be detrimental to the player because it causes temporary blindness. The hair is either blocking your vision or it is getting smacked into your eyes. It's as if the dude from Flock of Seagulls said, "Hey, toss me a basketball, put me in, coach." I mean, it's blocking his vision. And if you think I'm being overly dramatic, here's a play from when Elfer was on the Orlando Magic. This play is being called by our friend Ian Eagle. Listen to this.
Gordon, fancy dribbling. Payton penetrates. Pull up. Well, that's an air ball. Sure. And Payton loses it out of bounds. He pulled the string on it.
That was a 7-footer that went about, what, 4 feet?
There's a chance his hair blocked his vision.
Or blocked the shot, one or the other.
Yeah.
The hair. Look at the hair up in the air. And let's...
Oh, that blocked him. Look.
Well,
he did not see the rim.
Yeah. And his hair hit him in the eyes.
I've never heard that.
How the hell did you find that?
Because I Googled Elfrid Payton hair, and it's the first video that came up. Nice. And I'm like, okay, well, this is exactly what I was looking for. It's covering his eyes. There's a whole thing going on there. Airballing 7-footers is bad. I mean, like, really, really bad.
It's not ideal.
Someone needs to have an intervention with this guy, with his hair. I mean, it's as if somebody, like, hung, like a blinders in front of him. So wherever he moves, it's hanging there in front of him. How long has he had that?
He's had it forever. Why? Since he came in the league.
No. I mean, he's had crazy hair since he first, but, like, the one in front of his eyes.
I mean, it's been growing. That style, he's had since he came in the league.
He's had crazy hair.
Yeah.
But to where it's hanging in front of his eyes... It's only been about the last couple of years.
No, it hasn't reached in front of his eyes. The style has always been the same. Always.
Okay, well, it's different because the length is everything. The style,
Here we go. The vulture's on it. Don't worry. Yeah, the vulture's going to check hair.
It's because of the bottom of
it. And I don't know why.
Same hair.
And I don't, well, maybe it's because he's not been
had
a very good team.
Orlando the last 2 years, he's always had that funky hair, and the hair might have grown a little more.
Well,
so
that's
it's blocking
the problem, John. Yes.
But it's the same style. It's always been hanging over.
Being long enough to be in front of his eyes is not the same thing.
It's definitely moved progressively out his forehead.
Right. You look at those early years in Orlando, and it's just like big hair. It's just like big crazy hair.
Right. That's his rookie year.
Yes.
That photo you're showing me is his rookie
year. You're telling
me
his hair's never been cut. It just keeps growing out.
Yes, that's correct. No, he hasn't done a damn thing to stop it.
It's a different style.
No, yeah. it's the same thing.
It's literally hanging in front of his face to where you can't see. You can't see where he's going.
It's like a cresting wave.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
You ever driven up to Vermont when, like, there's, like, waterfalls coming up the side of the road,
like,
and they've frozen?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's like a frozen waterfall in front of his eyes. Well, either way, as far as the Celtics, they've won all 3 games on the road and have actually closed the gap against Toronto. They're only 3 back. Next up, the Celtics take on the Jazz, who have been pretty damn good as of late. They are in the playoffs. That Western Conference is jammed now.
Keep in mind, Utah is a better team this year, and they lost Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, I know.
It's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it has been strange.
Celtics are pretty good without Hayward, too.
Yeah.
I understand that, but they didn't have Hayward last year.
No, but I'm just...
I understand that.
Just kind of wonder how important he is.
Okay, here we go. All right.
The Vulture. I love
Vulture
it.
Vulture says, don't need Gordon Hayward. All right, that's fine.
Listen, at least he doesn't want the Celtics to lose like you do.
You are nothing if not consistent. Neither are you, by the way.
Well, you just said, Utah doesn't need him. Doesn't seem like Utah needs him.
Doesn't seem like the Celtics need him. My point was, it's a hell of a coaching job to get that team to where it is. Gordon Hayward was their... Gordon Hayward was their focus.
It was a shot against the Celtics, admit it. John, we know your agenda.
Right.
Next up, the Celtics take on that
Jazz. If anyone has that agenda, it's the guy in the middle, not me.
Tomorrow night, 9:30, you can hear the tip-off right here at 98.5 Sports Hub, and maybe hear a little more of this.
Guys, man, in the... Popcorn popper.
All right, so we will get to
Max.
Right after John Wallach's headlines, Josh McDaniels spoke about his decision to stay here, the very controversial move once he had already committed to the Colts. We will get to that and everything else after the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Guys, man, in the popcorn popper.
98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. That is Cedric Maxwell last night talking about Jason Tatum. Real quick, it's Toucher and Rich, by the way. Anthony, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Tatum. I had him picked from the beginning. I thought everything Danny was saying about how he wanted to score and all that during the draft. Yeah, and you can see that maturation is really coming along. He's actually come a lot more ways than or farther than Brown has, I think, with, you know, not just catch and shoot now. He's got a dribble move, and he can drive to the lane and dunk it. And I want to see the passing a little bit more, and then I'll hang up and let you guys
Well, listen, thank you for calling. The one thing about Tatum that has been invaluable is the fact that he's been unexpectedly been able to get all this playing time because of what happened at the beginning of the season. The maturation and what you've seen happen throughout this year has been nice, and it's been encouraging, and there's glimpses every once in a while that this guy could end up being something very, very special. You're still seeing those crazy rookie mistakes that you see kids his age doing. He makes some dumb decisions sometimes, but I'm going to have a really, really good time watching him in the playoffs. Like, I want to see what he's going to, because, I mean, as I said, for me, this is a stress-free playoffs for the Celtics, unless Kyrie comes back and Marcus Smart is back. Like, when it gets to that level,
then the stakes are real.
Then it's like, okay, it's truly going to be disappointing if they lose to an inferior team. But at the beginning, when you've got a guy like Terry Rozier, I mean, talk about Terry Rozier. He's somebody, I mean, how valuable has this guy become? And he's somebody who Danny Ainge got booed when they drafted. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's taken a while for it to truly get valuable.
I think one radio host booed that live as it was happening. I don't want to name.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to name any names, but I think there was one person leading the charge on booing Terry Rozier.
Okay, so you were there at the draft night and you were broadcasting live, right?
We were there at the draft party.
Okay.
I think my exact quote, he was getting booed, and I think my exact quote was something along the lines of, you guys are right to boo this pick. Like, something along those lines.
Okay, remind me of the scenario and who was still on the board and what was going
on
there.
I'm
trying to remember.
So that was the year they tried. Danny tried to trade 3 or 4 first-round picks for Justice Winslow, Michael Jordan wouldn't make that deal.
I remember how awful a move that was. Yeah, right. Even at the time, I was like, if that was true,
and I was so
insanity.
To make my night worse, I was so on board with trading up for Justice Winslow.
Yeah.
They were rumored to deal for like Okafor that night. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what else happened. And I can't recall who was on the board at 16.
I can tell you who was on the board at 16. Sam Decker, DeLon Wright, Bobby Portis. Well, a lot of people wanted. A lot of people wanted Bobby Portis.
DeLon Wright, pretty good.
Larry Nance Jr. CeeDee Osman, who has been very good for Cleveland this year, was on the board at that point. And, of course, Jordan Mickey, who the Celtics selected in round 2.
I was going to say, they took R.J. Hunter, too. And I feel like I liked R.J. Hunter at 16. And he stinks. So that was a tough night for me.
Did I tell you we had an intern that showed up with an R.J. Hunter jersey?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's right. I remember that guy.
Yeah, I met that. Wait, you said intern?
Was he an intern? Yeah,
yes.
He was an intern, right?
He was an intern.
I met him.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he went to Brian. He used to heckle Wallach at the basketball.
That's true.
At the basketball game. Right. From behind, he's like, yep. "You suck! I can do it better than you."
That's right.
Yep. How about, hey, Jackass? You spent $70 on an RJ Hunter Celtics jersey. You ain't got anything on me.
He ordered it online. That was the best part.
Yeah, RJ Hunter. Hey, remember that great story when his dad fell over? That was always fun. All right. Well,
good times.
Good times. Josh McDaniels finally spoke yesterday, and as I said, today is Orange Juice Day with Bill Belichick, where he's going to get to speak to the media. And as I said, he's been in a good mood. So,
I was going to say, unless we get Shecky Belichick.
I don't want Shecky Belichick. I want angry, pissed off.
We might get him.
I want Orange Juice Belichick. So McDaniels did speak, and this is the first time he's been able to speak to the press since he left the Colts standing at the altar. They had hired him essentially to be the head coach of the Colts, and now he said, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of liking this little sell job that Bill Belichick and, of course, Robert Kraft did on the 2 days after the Super Bowl loss. So he was asked about it. He said, well, how did you change your mind? What did they say to you? And he said, quote, this is to the Globe. He said this. He goes, once I heard from Robert and Bill that Tuesday, it just gave me a reason to pause and consider the whole situation. So he said, the opportunity to stay here and work for who I think is the greatest owner in sports and the best head coach in football in the history of our game, to work with the best quarterback that's ever played. Look, I'm privileged to have the opportunity to do that. And when they kind of crystallize that, hey, here's what we want to see going forward, and here's how we would like you to fit into it, it gave me a reason to stop and say, all right, what's the best decision for me? And certainly it was difficult, but I made the decision of my own, and nobody pushed me into it. So they talked about him calling the Colts general manager Chris Ballard that day and saying, hey, you know what? I ain't coming. And this guy's Chris Ballard is the GM. He said, well, Chris was tremendous the entire time. He's an incredible human being. He's great at what he does. And meanwhile, Chris Ballard's like, F you, dude. It's the feeling is not mutual. So, and then they went on to talk to him about what he, whether or not he, you know, was promised anything in the future. And he said that he was not promised anything. Like, you know, in other words, were you told secretly that when Belichick leaves, you are the heir, you know, you're the heir apparent, and he would not give any kind of info one way or the other. He said, again, it was never my intention to go into this and put anyone in an awkward position and do any harm to anybody or do anything to hurt anybody's career. That certainly wasn't part of my thought process. I just felt like once I knew the whole picture and had the opportunity to make a decision, it was tough, but I feel like I made the right one. How much more money do you think they gave him? Like, I mean, how much, how close to head coaching money do you think it was?
He's got
to
be.
For him to stay. 80%?
Well, as I say, I'll put it to you like this. He's got to be, if not the highest paid assistant. I mean, he has to be one of the highest paid coordinators. And yeah, he's probably making close to low end head coaching money, maybe mid head coaching money. I don't know.
You think he's making mid head coaching money?
Probably not. Probably low end.
Yeah, I think he's probably making 80% of what he would have made if he would have gone to the Colts.
And I just reject that he wasn't given a sweetener and a guarantee that he's the next guy.
Yeah.
Maybe guarantee is too strong, but just
they're a little kind of winking.
I'm sure nothing's put in writing. Like, I'm sure it's not official, just like him going to Indy wasn't official, but he has to know. I mean, he said, my role is crystallized.
Yeah.
That's not calling plays. Mm-hmm. You know, that's being the next head coach here. I think there's no other reason, regardless of what he says, I firmly believe this, there's no other reason to back out and make yourself potentially toxic with other owners and general managers around the league unless you have a better thing in your back pocket. What's better than being a head coach, being the coach in waiting here?
He was asked about the whole family thing, too, where there was, you know, talk about how his family didn't want to move. And he goes, my family was ready to go to Indianapolis because at a point that was the decision I had made. So this isn't a thing where I'm telling you I couldn't move and all that. That's not the case. If that were the case, I wouldn't even have interviewed. He goes, they're very supportive. My wife's incredible. My kids are great. Do they love New England? Absolutely. And have we been blessed to be a part of this organization? No doubt. But I'd say that in the long run, this coaching profession is kind of crazy, and they know that. And at some point, if we have to move or if we end up moving, they understand that's part of the situation, and we're ready to do that. So, I mean, I'm with you. There was a wink and a, not really a handshake, but an understanding
that he's
the guy after this.
There
and they gave him a bump, and they gave him an extension, and they made him feel comfortable. They said, why go out there? You don't even know if you're going to have Andrew Luck next year. You don't even know what you have to work with. Stick around here. Let's do this again. Tom Brady loves you. You like working for the Crafts. You don't have to move, and your life is comfortable. Stick around, and maybe you'll be the guy. Maybe you'll be the guy.
Do you put any? I was reading. Mike Reese had an update. There's a new rule that's being.
The Josh McDaniels rule.
Yeah, the Josh McDaniels rule that you can, you know, you can leave mid postseason or whatever. He had he linked to a quote or a tweet rather from Mike Chappelle in Indy, and he said something interesting that I had not really thought about. He said, "I put a lot of the blame on the organization, not on Josh McDaniels for getting cold feet and not going to Indy. Puts a lot of blame on the Patriots for taking forever to crystallize whatever his role is going to be."
I actually agree with that. Yeah. I
agree with that too. After reading it, I had never really thought about it that way. Like, we all think Josh is the bad guy. Why couldn't the Patriots just tell him what they view him as?
Yeah, why did they wait until after the Super Bowl?
Well,
it was pretty damn. I understand it's Belichick and everyone's in game day mode.
But that's so fraudulent from Belichick, though.
Of course it is.
He's at a Timberwolves game on Wednesday.
Of course
it is. You don't have time to talk to Josh McDaniels about his future?
Of course it is. Not all of this is crap. If you know what Josh McDaniels is worth, tell the man so he doesn't flat out embarrass himself.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he wanted to stay. It didn't take very long for you to convince him to do that. So tell him beforehand, and everyone can go on with their lives. Everything is on Patriots time. I don't understand that.
All right, well, speaking of that, RKK, Mr. Robert Kraft, very smoothly. He's also in a very good mood. He went and spoke to the media yesterday as well. Also, a very interesting story involving Ndamukong Suh. Boy, that Rams team is going to have one hell of a locker room, huh? we'll get to that and so much more right after this.
98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Enjoy football, food, and more with Tom Brady at the Best Buddies Challenge June 1st and 2nd. Register today at teamtombrady.com. I've said before, it's excellent charity, excellent event.
if you've been out there, and more than likely, the wild man, Guy Fieri, will be there, because he always seems to be. And you'll get to see Adam Schefter in person and say, wow, you're shorter than I ever thought. first of all, real quick, is there a noticeable knot on my head by any chance?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. Good. I think it's gone down. I had one of these things. I've told you before how every once in a while I get like vertigo. Like it randomly comes and goes. Like it'll be like a year and a half and there'll be nothing. And then out of nowhere, all of a sudden, I have this thing where just I feel like I'm in a washing machine. It's just I'm in a tumbler.
So it's like a balance or like more than like a balance?
Yeah. It's a balance. It's like so there's this thing that's when you're standing up straight, basically in your equilibrium. It's imagine it being like a river, and there's reeds in the river, and one of the reeds gets loose and just starts knocking everything around. That's how you figure out your body knows how you're balanced. Is if the water's flat, then your body says, "Hey, I'm standing on solid ground." But if the water tilts one way, you know that I need to lean this way in order to balance myself. Just imagine there being complete chaos and you feel like all of a sudden you're spinning everywhere and you're going to throw up. Ugh. So yesterday, out of nowhere, I was taking this nap and I stepped up out of bed and just all of a sudden it felt like the floor came out from underneath me and I just smashed right into my closet and hit the ground. And it took me like a good 30 seconds to get up where I'm just like, I can't move. And it's like this terrifying moment where you finally get up and everything comes back to normal. And now it's gone. Everything's fine again. It's one of the most terrifying
things.
Scary
as hell.
But it only happens to me, or usually happens to me, not when I'm like sitting up or walking. It's when I get up from lying down somewhere. Like if I get up in the morning or whatever, I'll like smash into something. And this almost never happens. But you hear about these athletes. Like, who was the golfer who couldn't get off the course that one time? It wasn't Duffner. Who was it?
Jason Day.
Was it Jason Day? Yeah,
that's what O'Brien was saying.
It might be him. But there's like video of him on the golf course where he's standing there and he's having a hard time walking off the green.
Huh.
It's because in his mind, everything in front of him is spinning, and his stomach is trying to react to it, and you're sick to your stomach, and it's mortifying. It's very weird, and I think I figured out where I traced it back to. Like, I'm perfectly fine. I think it's when I ride a roller coaster that everything goes all jacked up.
Oh, was that? Were you riding a lot of those on the trip?
Last week, I was in Vegas, and my kid wanted to ride the one that's out at New York, that goes outside the casino and does all that stuff, and it takes you on loops and everything. And I think if you turn me upside down and shake me like that, everything goes nutty. So I think I've officially hit the point where I can't do roller coasters.
Can't do roller coasters.
Right, because it affects me like the week afterwards. But
yeah, where you're falling into closets and stuff.
Yeah. I was wondering if I was going to come in, like, and I had this, because I had a huge knot last night.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not,
right
over top I'm not my head. Seeing anything.
All right. Yeah, it looked like, you know, when they bake the pizza and it's got the big bubble on it. That's kind of what it was. I guess it's gone down since then. So there you go.
Like a hematoma.
So for some reason, while we're sitting here talking, I just fall into my microphone. You will know why. And I feel bad for people who have like a really bad case of it. Mine just comes and goes, and it's terrifying when it happens, but it usually goes away. But my God, there was a basketball player who had it too.
My whole experience, I think, with vertigo comes from Arrested Development with Buster's with the neighbor.
Yeah, what happened there?
Lucille too.
Yeah,
just she just has random spouts of vertigo.
That's one of those shows that I've always wanted to get into, and I've never been able to. Yeah. And like now that it's kind of passed me by,
you might have just missed it.
I just missed that one. Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? This actually works pretty well with what you were talking about. So I started watching Black Mirror as well, and I didn't know what you said you had seen three episodes. I didn't know which ones you had saw. I wanted to see if you had seen, Shut Up and Dance.
No, I heard that's good.
It's like, because I'm a big, like, Tim and Eric fan, David Lynch fan.
Sure.
I'm
as into, am I.
Like, really weird stuff. And I started watching it, and I haven't been this excited for a show to binge watch since, like, Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, it is unbelievable.
It's excellent.
Stuff.
And it's like, if you don't know what it is, I talked about this yesterday at the end of the show. Black Mirror is a show that has been on for years. I think it started in 2011. And it's been out there. People have been telling me to watch it, and I haven't watched it. It's a Twilight Zone type of series, which means you can literally watch any episode, and it's all just 1 hour self-contained.
Which is nice. Not a lot of pressure to watch it.
It's
like,
great.
Yeah, I'll watch an episode here, I'll watch an episode there.
You don't
Doesn't
need,
have to be linear.
Yeah, you don't need to go and watch, start at season one and move your way on. So I kind of cheated, and I went online and I said, best Black Mirror episodes. Black Mirror is a show that it revolves around technology and how technology is going to freak us out and it's going to be the end of all of us, but some of it's surprisingly optimistic. And I found like a list of like the top 10, so I picked three of them. So it's not really fair how unbelievable my viewing experience was the other night watching three in a row. Like, there was one episode called San Junipero that's the best. It's one of the best hours of television that I've ever seen. And really? I guess it won a bunch of Emmys a couple weeks ago. And I don't want to tell you anything about it other than it starts off set in like the 80s. But it is one of the most well-written shows, one of the most terrifying shows on TV, because you know me and my whole tinfoil hat stuff with Facebook and how they're listening in on us, and Amazon, and what's that thing called? Alexa?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
to you in your house.
Yeah, stealing all your info and selling it to the highest bidder.
Exactly.
Why anyone has an Alexa Dot in their home.
I have Alexa Dots all over my house.
Yeah, why? So your kids can request a Smash Mouth song every once in a while?
Yeah.
Hey, Imagine Dragons, play it!
No.
So you are selling...
Get it right.
You're selling all your private info and essentially your soul so your kids can hear Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
Good. Congratulations.
I'm waking up. See? I mean, it's catchy.
Right. Yeah. Alexa, play Crap.
Yeah.
Could you do that for me?
And Imagine Dragons pops up. It's Miracle.
And there
it's
you great. Go. And fantastic. All the kids are listening to Imagine Dragons. But this show feeds into my paranoia, which you would think I would not want to watch it because of that, but for some reason there's part of me that likes it. It's like the Opus Dei guys who whip themselves.
masochist,
yes. But if you're going to watch that show, San Junipero, it's the best hour of TV that I've seen in a long
time. It feels like a big endorsement.
It's a huge endorsement. And I loved... Like the new Twin Peaks, but I never told anyone to watch it, including you.
Except Wallach.
No, Wallach is imagining
this thing. Watch it.
I never told you to watch it.
Told me to watch it. It was one of the weirdest things. I only made it like three quarters of the way through, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do this. And the best part was I texted Rich, and I said, why am I watching this again?
And what was my text?
If you have to ask, you should stop.
I said, stop it now. Because it don't get it, Lenny, less weird.
Weird. Just,
episode one's probably one of the most cohesive things.
Oh my God.
It's not rolling back.
Normal? The episode I saw was normal.
Dude, there's an episode where there's an atomic bomb and they spend about 15 minutes going inside the atomic bomb in black and white while classical music plays, and all of a sudden these men with greasy faces in black and white start wandering out of a mysterious gas station that appears because of the atomic bomb, and then they start crushing people's skulls. and all with no words, just to like classical music. So, yes, it does get a little bit weirder than the episode you watched with Kyle MacLachlan.
God, so. I'm so happy I stopped.
All right, so let's get to this RKK stuff. Robert Kraft, he's having a little party over there at the owners' meeting. We'll get to that and so much more right after John Wallach's headlines.